Well, you know, Father's Day, there's a lot of interesting things about this day. When I was looking for pictures about, you know, Dad, just love the look on that kid's face. He kind of captures it all. And, I mean, it's interesting. I don't know, like I say, I'm brought some of my Father's Day gifts from my children. I did not bring the coffee to share, but I got coffee, and out in the foyer next to the wonderful muffins that Roxanne so graciously always supplies, I guess it's the Cook family, but she's the one who normally, yes, it's all her. We'll give credit where credit is due. There are some cookies that came from Jordan, from my daughter there, our daughter there, and so if you would like to try, it was pretty good, wasn't it? So I know she had one. And please don't make me eat them all by myself. So try them out. There's three different varieties, wrapped three different ways. So sharing that and my Dada base shirt that I'm wearing in honor of my children today. You know, and when we think of fathers, there's lots of different relationships people have had with their fathers, from amazing to sadly some that, well, abysmal, is that a good word for it? And yet, even when we see maybe not the best examples of fatherhood, there is something as we deal with fathers that fathers are so important in the lives of their children, whether it's because of their absence or because of their presence. But here's a video that I think represents a pretty good dad.
Good job, Lauren.
Okay, I got it. Dad!
Okay, don't forget to carry the one.
Dad.
Okay.
That was delicious. Thank you. All right, hold on there, kiddo.
Dad.
Say cheese.
Cheese.
There you go. Okay, just one more. Hold your trophy up a little bit higher.
Dad!
Good morning, good morning, good morning! It's time to rise and shine!
Dad!
I love it!
No.
Dad! Dad!
And they were here first.
Dad!
So you want to go catch a movie at like 7:30 or something?
Dad!
And one more. Okay, one more.
Okay, let's go.
Wait, come on, just one more,
Dad!
I'm so proud of you. Now you just gotta get a job.
Dad!
You look beautiful.
Oh, Dad.
And stand just a little closer together and move just a little bit to the left. My left. A little more.
Dad!
Thankful for fathers, and hopefully your experience was more like this one. I know that's not always the case, but so thankful for those who have that fatherly influence in our lives. There are some fun facts about Father's Day. Miss Sonora Smart Dodd invented Father's Day to honor her father. She pushed for the establishment of Father's Day. Her father was a veteran who raised six children as a single parent. And the first Father's Day was celebrated on June 19th in 1910, so a little over 100 years ago. In 1966, President Johnson signed a presidential proclamation that resulted in the declaration of the third Sunday of June as Father's Day. According to greeting card makers, Hallmark, Father's Day is the fifth largest card sending holiday. So guys, we rank fifth. Of course, Mother's Day is first, but there we go. The most popular Father's Day present? A tie, yep. Have ties up there. Now, interesting, in Thailand, it was not intentional with the tie there, but it works. In Thailand, Father's Day is set as the birthday of the king. So Thais celebrate by giving their father or grandfather a canna flower, which is considered to be a masculine flower. So dads get flowers in Thailand. Now, this one kind of blew me away, and I'm not sure, Kelly may have killed me with this, but I don't know. The world record for having the most number of children officially recorded is... I heard that, and I agree. This is by the 69 children by the first wife of Fyodor Vasilyev. Sorry, Russian. Not good with Russian. He lived from 1707 to 1782, and he was a peasant from Moscow. His first wife gave birth to 16 pairs of twins, 7 sets of triplets, and 4 sets of quadruplets. Woohoo! Yeah.
No.
So, there you go. Some fun Father's Day facts. And we know that being a parent is the best job and the hardest job in all the world. And I don't claim to be an expert, because I'm not, but I think I have picked up a thing or two over the years from studying the scriptures and living as a husband and a father. And this morning, I want to share some of those thoughts with you today. And this one I can't claim as original. I don't even remember which Christian family teacher said this, but it really stuck a resonant note with me when we were in this training. And the very best thing, dads, that you can do for your children is love your wife. Now, I know there are situations with... sometimes before being a Christian, and unfortunately, even Christians can go through difficult times and break down in a marriage. And I know this day in particular, we have a lot of blended families. I didn't look up the statistics, but the last time I did, I think it was about 20% of American families are what we would consider a traditional nuclear family, biological father, mother, and children. That's only about 1/5 of families, what are considered families in America today. So there's a lot of there. I don't know what your situation, but I know the grace and mercy of God, that if God is a part of your life, love your wife. That's probably one of the greatest things we can do for our children. It provides them with a stability and with the example, because good, bad, or ugly, most of us learn how to relate to others by the example set for us by our parents. Sometimes we learn to do things well because of bad examples and the realization, boy, that was really rough on me. You know, this happened in my family growing up, I'm going to make sure that does not happen in my home. But hopefully most of the things are positive things. We learn to parent from our children. I still kind of remember, I'll be honest, moment of clarity here. Hopefully I'm always honest, but I will have a little transparency here. When Cassandra was born, I was kind of surprised, because I'm married to a nurse who, you know, she's the head of her floor, and yet when Cassie was born, here's Kelly calling mom, asking mom about, is this normal for a baby? I'm going, you're a nurse, you should know this stuff. I didn't say that out loud to her, but I sure thought it. But there's that truth there at times. Okay, you know, mom, did I ever go through these things? And to hear them laugh is always, that's a grandparent's joy. I can't believe my kids are this way. And they just kind of laugh and they go, yeah, you went through that when you were about 7 or something. We survived it. Here's what we tried to do. It seemed to help. You know, we learn from the example of our parents. But that example we can be. Guys, our children, especially any boys that are in our family, they're going to learn how to treat women by how your example of how you treat women, and especially their mother. I almost wish one of my kids was here today, because if you ever have a chance to talk to them, you could ask them, what was the worst thing they could ever do? And it was? Disrespect your mother. Normally, I'm actually pretty a nice laid back, but that's the one thing that really would set me off, and they learned. They might have thought it, but they didn't say it, and they didn't act it, because they knew if they disrespected their mother, that's the one thing that would bring Dad's ire down upon them. She's your mother, she's my wife, you will respect her. And to this day, you know, that's just ingrained into our kids. Love your wife. That relation, and it's love God, love your wife, show your kids that what should be, from God's viewpoint, should be the way we live and what our priorities is. God comes first, spouse comes second, family comes third. And when our kids recognize that, and it's not always easy, we're going to talk about that in a little bit, but when they see that modeled, that becomes the expectation. It's been interesting at different times, and I'm not saying this to brag on this, because I know it's by the grace of God. We did our part, and God more than did his part. But it's interesting how many times that our children have faced situations and they've acted the way that was modeled for them. And people will comment to them and, you know, well, why do you do... Well, they're growing up in that family, there wasn't an option. This is what you did. Probably one of the big things was they learned real fast, if you're too sick to go to church, you're too sick to do anything else. Yeah. So I still remember one time Kelly was sick one evening, and for some reason, on a Sunday night when we were somewhere, we had Sunday night church, and the kids called, and Mom's home on a Sunday night? She must really be sick, because you're not allowed to miss church unless you're really sick. But that was ingrained in them. And dads, that's it. Love your wife, love God, love your wife, love your family. Show them what truly is the priority of life, or what your priorities are in life. Second thing is foster a love of God in your children. Oh, I didn't read the verse that goes with love your wife, but it's Colossians 3:19. Husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly. For two, fostering a love for God in your children is Proverbs 23:24. It says, the father of godly children has cause for joy. What a pleasure to have children who are wise. And the Bible is full of instruction on this matter, from training up a child in the way he should go or what they should go. That Deuteronomy 6, where we get what's called the Shema, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And that, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God. But then right after that, that's what needs to be ingrained into their children, this basic belief, this understanding of who God is and what our relationship with him is, what our responsibilities to him is. And then you go on and read in Deuteronomy 6, and it talks, while you're walking along the way, when you're getting ready for bed at night, when you get up in the morning, basically throughout the day, ingrain and look for ways for your children to see how God interacts in you in a sense, every aspect of life. Even from the, you know, saying grace at meals. Well, why do you do that? Well, because we believe God provides, and that it's by his graciousness and goodness that we have this food that we're going to eat. Even those little things of learning to help your children see how God is a part of every aspect of their lives. Now, I found this a 2016 article, and it reported this, that according to data collected by Promise Keepers and Baptist Press, if a father does not go to church, even if his wife does, only one child in 50 will become a regular worshiper. If a father goes regularly, regardless of what the mother does, between 2/3 and 3/4 of their children will attend church as adults. The influence and example of a father. And I know, having been a children's pastor many years ago, I saw that so often when they're little, coming with mom to church. But about the time they hit that middle school age, they stop looking to mom as a role model as much as they start looking at dad. And if church wasn't important to dad, we had a hard time keeping those boys. The girls usually would keep coming because they followed mom's example. But as boys are looking, what does it mean to be a man? Men, if church is not important to you, it's probably not going to be important to your sons in particular, but also to your daughters. Another survey found that if a child is the first person in a household to become a Christian, there's a 3.5% probability that everyone in the household will follow. If the mother is the first to become a Christian, there is a 17% probability everyone else in the household will follow. However, when the father is first, there's a 93% probability everyone else in the household will follow. I know we don't like to hear about it in our day and age in America, but there's something to be said about men being the head of a household. It's not about being a dictator, but being a leader, being that model, setting the example, setting the priorities for a family. If a man loves his wife as Christ loves the church and models the lifestyle he wants his children to follow, it makes so much difference. And you may be here and going, well, Pastor Rich, you're talking ideal here, and that's not my... Start today. Ask God for help to start today. Like I say, not everybody comes into that. We would love to think everything's perfect and every father's perfect and every situation's perfect. We know that's not true. It's sad, but it's not true. And if you look and you're going, well, Pastor Rich, I don't know any of this stuff you're talking about. My dad, maybe your dad wasn't even there. Ask God to help you from this day forward. I believe God will bring men into our lives. And guys, not only for our families, find situations where you can be a male role model for other kids. Maybe it's neighborhood kids where there isn't that positive role model. It makes so much difference. I know some of the training in Youth for Christ, they talk about the difference for a child that having a positive role model in their lives makes in how their lives turn out. And I've seen it over and over again. It's part of the reason why in years past we've been a part of Royal Family Kids Camp, which provides a camp for foster kids. And for many of them, kind of one of those tough moments, neat moment, but a tough moment. One of our pastor's wives was the Bible teacher that one year, but she also taught in the public schools. And start of the year, kind of helping her to get to know her kids, they were supposed to bring, some pictures in of their family and talk about their family. And she didn't realize it at the time, but every year at Royal Family, they get this little purple photo album that has pictures of them and what they're doing at camp and their counselors and, fun things that happened. One of the girls in her class, she didn't recognize her at first, didn't realize that's who it was. But when it was her turn to talk about her family, she walked up with this little purple photo book and talked about, these people are my family. That 1 week for this foster girl made such an impact. There are people there. I have a family that loves me and accepts me unconditionally and wants what's best for me. That the power of that is so much, is so there. Don't see many positive role models of men depicted in entertainment. Most often the dad's either oblivious or doesn't care or is absent or is an idiot. Is that a nice way to say it? No, but it's true. So often they're depicted that way. Very rarely do you see examples of good fathers in entertainment. So start today. If this is not your history, start today. Ask God for his help and his grace. So now maybe something to lighten the mood a little bit that reminds us of the example Dad set. Got another little video here. It's called Dad Fuel.
If you're a dad, you're not afraid to work hard.
Never give up.
Never compromise.
And the best dads always look for ways to get better.
I'm looking for something to energize me.
I'm looking for something to push me further.
And I'm looking for something to go with these nachos.
Dad Fuel. The energy drink designed just for dad.
So I can finish the fight.
So I can finish the race.
So I can finish mowing the lawn. And later on, I might watch some golf.
The fuel dads need to do the things dads do.
Climb the highest peak.
Go the furthest distance.
Check the scores. Read the newspaper. Give amazing relationship advice.
Why are you crying?
You should really talk to your mother about that.
Dad Fuel comes loaded with taurine, ginseng, and 100% of your daily recommended value of Hi, Hungry, I'm Dad.
I start every morning with the four D's. Devos, donuts, Dad Fuel, down blanket. Breakfast of champions, baby.
Now available in four bold flavors. Original orange, role model raspberry, Growmaster mango, and I thought I told you to take out the garbage grape.
You can't touch my passion.
You can't touch my drive.
And you definitely can't touch my thermostat. No way.
So whether you're thirsty for victory,
or just plain thirsty. No, seriously, it's empty. Can I get another one?
Dad Fuel.
Because I am fearless.
Because I am unstoppable.
Because the players on TV aren't going to yell at themselves.
Come on! Throw the ball!
All right. So a little bit of truth and a little bit of humor in there. We all need some dad fuel. So, dads, let's foster a love for God and our children and our families. The third thing I want to talk about this morning is finding a balance. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says this, "For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven." And then it goes and gives a long list of the events of life. But the truth is that there is a time and a season for everything. Struggling to find a balance for all the demands on your time. And I know there's been a lot of discussion, maybe more years ago than I don't hear about it as much now, but it still pops up occasionally, that discussion on the value of quality over quantity of time. But I think finding a way to spend time with your family must be a priority for us. You know, there's that old saying, I didn't look it up, but that quote that's been around for many years, that on their deathbed, I've never heard anybody say, I wished I'd spent more time in the office. It's usually that thought of, you know, we had the opportunity before the wedding, we went over and spent a little time with our son and his family, and we're looking at each other, and how did he turn 6? You know, the wonderful thing with Facebook, they pop up there, you know, 3 years ago or 4 years ago, and those little timeline things, and just the other day it popped up when he was just a baby, the first time I think we went out to visit them in Montana, when they lived in Montana. Now he's 6. He's going to be a first grader. How did that happen? I know sometimes when you're I remember when we were in the middle of raising kids, that busyness and the demands, they're, you know, especially as they get a little older and turn into teenagers and they're involved in this, involved in that, doing, you know, youth group stuff, things at school, hanging with friends. And sometimes it's still important to have some of those dad moments and times together. Because nothing replaces experiences together. Now, it may kind of sound strange to some of you, but the things I remember about my dad that I cherish the most and miss the most are helping him cut wood. I wished I could have found it, but somewhere they've got a picture of me. I'm probably about yay tall. And we had a coal and wood-burning furnace, and back before wood burners were popular, my dad got to know the guys who cut down trees, so when they'd cut down a tree, they'd come and drop it off in our yard, and my dad would chop it up, saw it up, or hack it up, or whatever, split it, and that's what how we kept the house warm. But there's a picture of me, my dad, you know, foot on the log, sawing through a log, and I'm holding the end of the log so it doesn't fall on the ground. That was me helping my dad. And strangely enough, I don't remember when the picture was taken, but I remember doing that. There was something about there being out there helping my dad. I wasn't really helping much. I was probably more of the way and probably a chatterbox. But I was there with him. I remember that. We had a covered front porch as far as the roof goes. It wasn't closed in or anything. But one of my favorite things was when it would storm in the summer. Just sitting on the front porch with my dad, not really caring that sometimes it was windy enough, you got a little wet, but just out there and watch it lightning and listen to the thunder and watch the clouds and often not even really saying anything, but just sitting there watching the weather on the front porch with my dad. Kind of strange, but playing cribbage. I learned, I think, again, part of the reason I love to play games is at a very early age, learned to play cribbage. That's where I learned my math. You learned at least how to count to 15 and 31. If you're a cribbage player, you understand that, and you kept hoping you didn't get 19. Again, if you don't get that, you don't play cribbage. But anyway, those times of there, and sometimes just watching mom and dad play cribbage. Again, I remember one time, I don't remember what mom was cooking, but dad suggested they play a quick game of cribbage. And my mom got some really good cards, ended up double skunking my dad, and he goes, well, that's the last time I'm going to offer to play a quick game of cribbage. And he never did after that. But those are the moments that I look back to. And they were nothing spectacular, but they were times with my dad that kind of helped shape who I am today. Kelly will tell you how often we're going down the road on a cloudy day and I'm just, you know, talking about the clouds. And still love that. I learned to serve others by his example. You know, he would do for a friend simply because that person was a friend. He didn't expect anything in return. If you had an opportunity to do something nice for somebody, you just did it because they were your friend. And that service, of selfless service, was ingrained in me because of my dad's example. And I still to this day, thankfully I'd become a Christian before this moment, but I was walking home from high school one day, and I'd followed a couple guys down the steps on my way out of the school, and they were headed, he was talking about, we're headed to the car in the parking lot, and one of them was saying, I'm hungry, let's swing through McDonald's, and he goes, yeah, I've got to buy a new pair of jeans, and, you know, just kind of a conversation, and as I'm walking home, I'm kind of thinking about that, I reach in my pocket, and I pulled out a quarter. I had a quarter. And at that moment, is it strange I was in high school before I realized we were poor? I thought about, here's these two guys I knew. They had a car. They had money to go through McDonald's. They had money to go to buy a new pair of jeans. And I had a quarter. But I also heard them, one of them complaining about his old man. He was riding his case about something. I'm thinking, God, I may only have a quarter. But I have a good relationship with my parents. I've never gone hungry. I have clothes to wear and a roof over my head. What more do I need? That may be a profound thought for a high schooler. But at that moment, I was just so thankful to God for what I did have rather than being resentful for what I didn't have. Realization, I had a good relationship with my parents and I had what I needed. So thankful for that. A few years back, there was a TV show called My Two Dads, and it's not what we, you know, not how you would think about that today. The background of the story is there were two guys that were friends, had a crush on the same girl. 12 years later, she ends up getting sick and dying, and she leaves her daughter in the custody of these two guys because she doesn't know for sure which one is actually the father. Okay, not the best background of the story, but it's a comedy. And, you know, imagine two single guys all of a sudden inheriting a 12-year-old girl. And that's kind of the setup for the story. But there's some neat moments in that. You know, I think about that show from time to time. And the struggles and the stuff and them struggling, what does it mean to be a good dad? But there's one point in the story where Michael's doing this and he stops and he looks and he goes, I've grown my father's finger. And how many times do we find ourselves, I know for Kelly, it was so much fun here a while back. She was saying something, and we were on a Zoom call with both the girls, and they go, you sound just like Grandma. She goes, no, I don't. Yes, you do. But don't we find ourselves doing those sort of things? And at one point in the series, Michael and Joey are having this big argument about where they should live to raise this girl. And at the end of it, they come to the realization that where they live wasn't as important as the fact that they were there, because they both grew up in poor situations, but home was where family was. Home was where their dad was. And that resonated with me. Sometimes you may not be able to provide the nicest things, or, you know, Kara got to drive a car that she wouldn't lock. And we heard some stories about some things that happened. She left it and came out one day, and there were some kids smoking pot in her car that she kicked out. And we're going, Kara, why didn't you lock the doors to the car? And she goes, I kept hoping somebody would steal it. I hated that car. Now, it was years later before we heard that confession. You know, you may not have all the stuff or give your kids all the stuff somebody else can, but you can give them something that nobody else can, and that is your time, your example, your wisdom. But it's hard to find the balance at times. There's so many demands on our lives. There's work, and often, you know, whether it's a part of your job or not, many times there are other things that pull on you, and if, you know, and none of the recreational stuff is bad in itself, but, you know, it's okay to play golf. It's okay to be on a sports team. But find the balance. Make sure there's time for God and there's time for family and there's that time for kids. Because it may not feel like it now, but in a lot of ways you feel like you blink and they're gone. And that's time you can't get back, and you can't buy back. I'm not a big fan of country music, but there's two songs. I have a little CD that we listen to from times that I put songs on. We call it our crying CD. It has songs like The Breath You Take by George Strait. If you haven't listened to that, go out on YouTube and find it. Just make sure you got a hanky there. Darius Rucker sings the song, It Won't Be Like This For Long. And from someone that's now on the grandparent side, cherish those moments. Make time for those moments. Find that balance. Are there demands for work? Absolutely. And I'm not denying that. But guard your time. Make sure there are those moments. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. But let there be those moments your kids can look back to and say, I remember when we used to do this with mom and dad. Well, dads, thanks for all you do. You provide, you protect. God built that into us as men. Right now media and you've not watched it, I encourage you couples, watch Love and Respect. We went through several of those, but there he talks about, and it's not a, how to say this, it's a very balanced approach to how God made men and women differently. They complement one another. But God built into guys this thing of, I love the way he described it. He goes, if I had to die to protect my child, I wouldn't even think twice because I'm a father, I'm a man. That's what God built into me. That protection, that provision. Whether your jokes are good, or if you're like me, you don't have any good jokes at all. I have one, but that's beside the point. You know, but you bring laughter, you set the example. So today, I'm not going to have you text your dads. I guess you could here if you want. I know we had you text moms. If you want to take a moment and text dad and wish him a happy Father's Day and you haven't done that already, do that. Those who, dads, and maybe for grandparents too, this wouldn't be a bad thing for grandparents to do, but for those who have children under 18 or maybe grandchildren at the age of 18, got a little assignment for you. I'd love for you to write a letter to give them when they turn 18, right to that 18-year-old child of yours, that son or daughter, and let them know what it's like. Just a final note here, and then I've got another video for us to watch to kind of maybe help spur you on and think about a letter you might write. But dads, make sure you're telling your kids that you're proud of them. It's amazing to me how many times talking to a kid that, especially when they're older, is just, I just want my dad to be proud of me. Your approval makes all the difference in the world. Let them know that. And hopefully you are. I hope you are. Sometimes that you aren't necessarily proud of where they're at, but be proud of the progress. Be proud of the progress. Be proud of them. Let them know that. So, Brendan, go ahead and show that final video.
Come on in. Take a seat. Why don't you grab a pen and paper?
Sure.
Okay. And what I'm going to have you do is write a letter to your son that you're going to give to him when he turns 18. I want you to write a letter to your daughter.
Okay.
For when she turns 18.
Okay. Oh, wow. Wow.
Oh, my son's only 4 years old, so this will be interesting.
Dear Olivia.
Dear Mason.
You won't read this letter for 6 years, and a lot could change between now and then.
Hopefully, you've learned by now that it's important to put on clothes before you go outside. Maybe you've learned that vegetables are your friends.
I sincerely hope that all of the dabbing has finally stopped.
And also that it's pronounced mac and cheese. Not monkey cheese, mac and cheese.
You dream of becoming a famous singer, so thank you in advance for all the free concert tickets.
Is this still your goal to be a professional YouTuber?
I know you were hoping to become a giraffe when you grew up, but hopefully you have some even better career options now.
It hasn't always been easy. I sat on a piece of gum you left on a chair yesterday and didn't find out until after work.
The dishes really do go in the dishwasher. It's not like a metaphor or something.
Remember when you cut your own hair and then you tried to fix it?
Basically, I didn't sleep for 3 years straight.
But I can tell you this. Despite all the struggles, all the tears, it was completely worth it. And I would do it again, 100 times over for you.
You are a gift and a blessing. You've changed my life.
You are beautiful and strong.
You have so much energy in life, and I can already see how incredibly smart and fearless you are.
More than anything, I want you to know that I love you.
I'm here for you. whatever you need.
You have made me so proud.
And I am excited to see how God uses your life.
You're ready to take on the world. With all my heart.
Love always. Dad.
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 Precious God, we thank you this morning that you are our Father. And what that means to us. And because of the work you've done in our lives, we are able to call you Abba Father through that work of the Spirit. That closeness that we can have with you. And Lord, today I pray for earthly fathers that there would be that closeness with their children, even in the dad moments, when kids sometimes don't understand why you do the things you do, but that this day we would be so thankful that you've given us the privilege to be a father. Maybe the children you've brought into our lives are not biological, but Lord, we don't love them any less. And Lord, I just pray that for families now, that you would help them to be strong in you, and that each child represented here this day would grow up to love you and to serve you, Lord. That they would learn all the best from us and learn to be like you, precious Father. So bless every home, I pray. Thank you for every dad, for every man that you have brought into our lives that has been a positive influence for us, and that example of what it means to be a man and to be a follower of Jesus. Bless now, I pray, in your precious name, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Again, happy Father's Day. And fellas, make sure you pick up one of these tumblers or water bottles. I still don't know what to call them. Things you can drink out of. And take one of those home with you today. And have a happy Father's Day. God bless you.